Samson, the presence of Hazi, O Lord, and let Samson to see them and go. That they treasured, they forget about their soul. I decided to make Jesus my true. My brother gonna sing. Some folks, they would rather have heard this and lame. And some folks to silver and gold, but they don't think that they treasure. And they forget all about their soul. I decided to make Jesus my child. Oh,
one more time.
Oh, some folks have houses, oh, and land. Oh, some folks.
I decided.
That you have all decided to make Jesus your Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have not, maybe we can help you understand that today. Amen. Just want to take a few minutes because I know time is going to get away, and I wish I had had more time to spend today, but it didn't work out that way. So we want to move right along. I want to mention that this text that the apostle writes here in 2 Corinthians 4 that we've read briefly says that it's possible for every one of us to see our lives based on eternal matters rather than on temporary things. You know, temporary things produce a lot of, let's call it turmoil in your spirit when you look at what you go through in life, some of the things you have to go through just to live in this world. The world is kind of a strange place. But when we look at it based on what the Bible says and from an eternal viewpoint, we can understand things better and we can have peace even though circumstances may be not be what we desire. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time incarcerated because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, there's coming a time when people who preach will not be welcome anymore, who preach the truth. Now, we have a lot of people who are willing to fudge. The one thing that really irritates my spirit that I hear a lot today is people talking about a faith-based something or another. You know, I'm not into a faith-based anything, because if your faith is in the wrong thing, what good is it? What will it do to have for you to have faith in something that can't save you? See, so to say faith-based, what is that? That's saying that you're trying to include something other than Jesus, which is the only one who can save you. See, so I'll tell people our organization is a Christian-based organization. It's based on faith in Jesus and nothing else, because he's the only one that can help you. See, and that's what the Bible is about. It's about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover. It's about the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. See that? So either that's true or it's a lie. Either we believe it or we don't. As simple as that. See, Jesus didn't make it possible for us to say that there are other gods. That violates commandment number one. You shall have no other gods before me. The whole idea of God violates the possibility of there being any more than one, if you think about it. If there's God, why does he need there to be other things in competition with him? See, so it makes no sense. It's illogical for us to think that there would be other gods. See, and so that is not right. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And so where you and I are today is either we believe that or we don't. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says, he who is not with me is against me. So Jesus said, either you're with me, that means not saying that I'm physically with you, but I either stand for what you believe, what you teach, or I don't. See? And it's cut and dry. It's black and white. Either we believe Christ or we don't. See, he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. All those are singular. No one comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. That's either true or it's not. See, and either you believe it or you don't. That's as simple as that. And my prayer is that you would believe it, because he is the only one who can make you clean, according to the scripture. Now, Paul learned the secret, as he says, to look at things based on eternity, not on temporary circumstances. Sometimes people compromise to make their temporary circumstances better at the time, but they miss out on the long-range plan that God has for your life. And so here in 2 Corinthians 4, I want to tune in just on the verses that I want you to see here. Paul says here that in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, that we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He says the resurrection is true for everyone who believes in Christ. You know what? This whole life is fruitless if all we're going to do is die and go into a grave. Have you thought about that? It's just ridiculous. I had today we buried my cousin, 50 years old. Okay, 50 is a short number of years if you ask me. Okay, but if that's the end of him, then it's a fruitless existence. You know, we might as well forget it. There's nothing even to be happy about. But you know what I'm happy about? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. He was crucified at a much younger age, age of 33 and a half. Was crucified, marred beyond recognition. It had been predicted in the Bible hundreds of years before he was born. Even as much as 1,500 years, Moses wrote about the coming Messiah, the prophet who would be like me, he said, to whom you would look. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, he spoke of the prophet that would come. So in Moses, even back in Genesis, he wrote about the seed of the woman, which speaks of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, Genesis 3:15. See, these things were written 1,500 years before Christ Jesus was born. See? And so all the prophecy of the coming Messiah is about Jesus Christ, the one who could deliver men from the penalty and the curse of sin, which is death. Death is the penalty for sin. And so the solution to sin is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Adam made us all become guilty in the sight of God. Jesus Christ came to correct that, to taste death and take the penalty of death upon himself, being perfectly innocent in order that he might release from the penalty of death all those who trust in him. See? And so basically we will go into the grave probably unless the Lord returns today. He could come now, right in the middle of this message, and all of us who believe in him would be caught up to meet him in the air. But if he doesn't, we're going to go to a grave. It's certainly real. That's the reality of life, you see. But the fact is, preparation for that is to trust in Jesus Christ that God raised from the dead. And the Apostle Paul says here that we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak. We say exactly what the word says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. In other words, those trusting in Christ will be raised from the dead and shall present us with you. He's telling the Corinthians. He says, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. He says, we don't lose heart. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The spirit man is being built up day by day. The more you understand the truth, the word of God, the more you feed on the truth, the word of God, the more strong your spirit becomes. Even though the outward man is decaying, every one of us is getting older and older and older. I'm probably older than everybody in the room, I would imagine. I don't know. But it's not even worth a discussion. But let's say the fact is, if you continue to live, you will get gray, you will start to lose your vision, you will start losing your hearing. The body is decaying. Nobody can deny that, you see? And so the reality is, eventually we will stop and we'll not be able to continue on. Why is that? Because there's sin in the world, and the wages for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have a hope beyond the grave. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on healing and stuff too in the church, which I think is twisted to some extent, because all the people who Jesus healed had to die and go in the grave. Are you aware of that? None of them are still alive. So why do we make a big deal out of healing? Not to say that God cannot heal. Yes, he can. But you know what? If we don't get past death, what good is healing? Is healing any good if I'm not going to get up out of the grave? Think about it. Because all the healings that were done, including Lazarus, who was already in the grave in John chapter 11, and Jesus called him up out of the grave after 4 days. Okay? He was decaying already. The Bible says, they said, he's stinking. Lord, don't open that stone. Don't take that stone away. See? Because he's rotting in there. You know, Jesus said, roll away the stone in order that the glory of God might be revealed. He called him back up out of death. Now that's the biggest, best healing I've ever seen.
Here was a man rotting, decaying, maggots consuming his flesh. Jesus said, stop that, and brought him back to full existence in a normal human body. But you know what? Lazarus had to go back to the grave again to wait on the second coming of Christ. See? So we need to get off that trip. Let's grow up and understand the truth of the Word of God. See, the gospel is about saving your soul eternally, bringing you up out of the grave, as it says here, and restoring your body. Like Job says, in my flesh I shall see my Redeemer, you see. And he says, my eyes are not another, you know. And so we're looking for something beyond the grave. Here, if there is no gospel, if it doesn't get you out of the grave, I don't care what it is, it's not going to help you. Because every single set of Christians who have been alive from even the time of Christ, even back farther than that, we can go back to the Old Testament saints. Abraham, the Bible says, never saw the kingdom that God promised him, but at the age of 175, he took his feet up in his bed, breathed his last, and he welcomed that city from afar off, the writer to the Hebrews says, because he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. See, whose foundations were in heaven. They could not be shaken any longer. Hebrews chapter 11 tells you that. So salvation is deeper than the present. It's way into the future, into the time when time won't be anymore, as it says in the book of Revelation. So Paul says here, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he calls all the trouble in this life momentary affliction. It's light affliction is but for a moment, but it works for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In other words, the suffering that we go through in this particular time in life produces treasure for us in the future, in eternity. And he put it this way, in Romans 8:18, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, so we're looking at something way deeper than just temporary circumstances. Yes, God can fix my problems right now. Yes, he is concerned about the food that I need. He's concerned about my shelter. He's concerned about all my temporary needs. But beyond that, he's concerned about our eternal soul. And that's why he raised Jesus from the dead. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ risen from the dead is the thing that you and I need to look at. See, we need to believe and trust in the resurrection of Christ. He says, while in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. In other words, temporary. They're going to fade away, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you know the Bible says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, that the earth and its works shall be burned up, that everything in this creation will be consumed because it's been contaminated with sin? And the only thing that will remain are the souls of human beings who have trusted in God and had faith in Jesus Christ. See? And so that's why Paul said that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The ones trusting in the Lord, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, and in chapter 20, it talks about the whole creation being consumed from the presence of God. And that God says, I'm going to create all things new. There is a new kingdom and a new order of things coming into existence. You and I are being made prepared for that. Revelation 20, verse number 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And then he says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For he says, and the first earth were... And he says, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. See that? The whole current world as it stands in this system of things is scheduled for destruction. We don't know when that will be, but at some time it will take place, and we will all see it. Everyone will be there to see it. We'll be on one side of God's judgment or the other. Either we'll be in his blessing because we have trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we will view this and witness it in the presence of the Lord and the holy angels, or we'll be deceived by Satan and cast into the lake of fire. Here he says, which is the second death. Now, of course, I skipped verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. See that? till the heavens and the earth are scheduled for destruction, and they will not be anymore. So we need to not be hung up in the stuff we see in this world. And that's why policy is that the things that we see are temporal. These are temporary things. You know what? If people weren't worried about temporary things and lived their lives for eternity with their mind set on eternity, the whole world would be different. But, you know, we can't change the whole world. All we can do is preach the gospel to one soul at a time. God will accept you just like you are right now. That's why he sent Jesus into the world. That's why he raised him from the dead. He loves you just like you are. You need to be his child. You need to see your need for that and ask God to be your Savior. Ask him to save you by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit and lead you and guide you to all truth. Ask him to open the Word and the Scripture so that you can see all these things. You know what? Everything and every answer to every deep, serious question in life is found in the Word. You know, and we don't find it because we're not looking. Jesus says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given to you. See what I'm saying? We need to begin to relate with God and have fellowship with God. And God will show you things that you never imagined. And the answer's been right under your nose. That's what I always find. I'm always surprised when I get into a deep study of the Word, how God shows you stuff. It's been sitting there in your face the whole time, but you didn't see it. See? And so we need to learn to ask. And God will give you the increase. That's the only way it can happen. These are spiritual things that are discerned by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually appraised. See that? So we need the Spirit of God to appraise the eternal things of the Word of God so we can see it with our own eyes. You know what? You'll start to think about everything differently. That's what happens. It's happening to me. I'm not saying I'm perfected. I'm like Paul. I have not become perfect. I have not become everything that God called me to be. Not yet, but I'm heading there. Like he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward unto those that are before, I press toward the mark. See? So we're pressing to understand these things better. Somebody even wrote a song that said we'll understand it better. What? By and by. As we go, God will teach us and instruct us. We have a real-time onboard teacher, the Spirit of God. 1 John 2:27 says that you have no need that any man should teach you. But the Spirit of God, that anointing that he has put upon you, will teach you and lead you and guide you to all things, he says. You see? And so the Spirit is given to us. And that's the beautiful thing. If you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead for you, and that he did that because he loves you, you know how we can trust him on that? Because he said he did. That's all you need. His Word is good enough. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, doesn't make any difference who you are, what you have done, how evil it was, however, even what you're going through now. You know what people think? That Christians get snapped instantly into holiness. That's not true. You know, we're declared holy by God, by faith. And we learn how to be more righteous day by day. The more we study the Word, the more we pray, the more we learn to love. And what love is the key to everything. If we love people, we wouldn't be sinning at all. We would stop sinning because we care too much for you to sin against you. You see? And against God. We care for God who loves us and did what he did in order to redeem us from our sin. See? And so that's really the key to it. And we learn these things the more we meditate on the Word. And so God wants you to have this type of relationship. That's going to be the basis and the foundation of the program that we set up. And I believe that's the answer to all the problems that we have going on in our communities. If people loved each other, we wouldn't have robberies, murders, hijackings, carjackings, suicide bombing, all the kind of crazy stuff you hear going on just wouldn't be happening. It wouldn't happen because people would see that every person is important to God. God loves each and every one of us and everybody outside this place. He loves Osama bin Laden. If he would repent and believe in Jesus Christ, God would save him. Do you know that? You ever think about that? It doesn't make any difference who you are. Everybody needs a Savior. You know what? People who reject Christ are going to be sorry. If there's somebody thinking somewhere that because I'm sitting in Rome in the Vatican and I'm doing good things that God's going to save me, no, he's not. If you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, see yourself as a bankrupt sinner before God, then you are not coming into heaven. Jesus said you won't make it. See, he said, he told the Jews and some of the Pharisees and Sadducees he says, prostitutes and sinners are going to be coming into the kingdom while your sons are being cast out because you refuse to humble yourself before the Son of God. See, and so there's going to be all kinds of surprises come judgment day. You're going to be surprised. Certain people are going to be saved, and folks who you thought were so holy are going to be being cast into the lake of fire with the devil. See? So you really have to analyze yourself. All I can do is check myself. That's what I admonish you to do. Check yourself. Where do you stand with God? Have you trusted in His Word? Do you believe that His Son was sent into the world specifically for you? You know, that He died on that cross for your sin? Have you appropriated that to the account of Christ, that God has given His Son in order to pay for your sins specifically? See, He paid for my sin. You know how I know? Because I asked Him to do it. And I'm not trusting in anything else at all except Jesus. You know why? Because God is only accepting Christ. The only acceptable righteousness from God is that which He gives you that you must receive from Him by faith. And so if you receive it, you can know you have it. All you have to do is know you don't have what it takes. You know, and confess that to the Lord and realize God supplies us with everything that we need. God has given a Son so that me and you can be clean. And if we believe Him and trust in Him, the Bible says, as many as has received Him, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. John 1:11. See? So it's not about me. It's about Christ and what I believe about Him and my relationship with Him. See? And you know what? Knowing that has improved me a whole lot. I'm a lot better than I was when I wasn't understanding that. See? And I'm getting better day by day. And you know what else I'm doing? I'm examining everything in my life, checking myself out thoroughly. I want to be right. You know, when this happens to me, and it will happen if time keeps going on and Jesus doesn't come back. You know what? If He comes back, however we are, that's the way we'll be. And when it's time for Him to judge our hearts and our minds. See? But if this happens to me before time, then I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be trusting in Him alone. I have so many things I would like to do before I ever leave here, see? And so maybe you feel that too. But I want to relax your mind today because I want you to understand God loves you. He says so in His Word. Just believe it. That was one of the hardest obstacles I had of getting saved, was I was wondering, why in the world would God love me? Because I knew exactly how I was. You know, I said, boy, I think about how I am, what kind of a person I am, the kind of things I think. You know, the kind of stuff I've done in my life. And I said, why in the world would He love me? And I was trying to look for something in me to find the reason why He loved me. But that's not the reason. See, God loves you for His purposes because He made you in the image of Himself. You know, He loves every man. God never changed. When Adam sinned, God loved him. That's why He made him in His own image. He never changed. Adam is the one who changed. And so God loves us just like we are. See, just accept it. You know why? Because He gave us His Word. And if you believe Him, the Bible says, as many as believe Him, He will give the right to be called the children of God. So that's what I want you to know tonight. And just think about these things. These are some heavy things that I've said here today. But it's true. God loves you and He will take you just like you are. You need to know He loves you. You know what? I rejoice about the fact that God loves me. And it stops me from doing stuff I would think. I have a lot of evil thoughts come in my mind a lot of times, you know. And I think about, boy, this would be a disgrace to God for me to think this kind of thing or let this go through. And I stop it right there. That kills it. See, because I don't want to be doing that because God loves me. See, and it will help you clean up your life. That's the only way to be. That's the only way we can make it. You know what? And you will see yourself growing in the Spirit. You'll see yourself seeking the things of the Word. The Holy Spirit will deliver things to you out of the book that you need to know, and you will be blessed. It'll be a blessing to you. And so that's what I wanted you to see here. If we start to concentrate on the eternal things, we can get our minds off the temporary things, and we won't have trouble. You know what? We're going through momentary difficulties, you and I. We like to be out of here. I know everybody in here. If I ask, I don't even have to ask. You know, we'd all like to go and be out of here. Okay, but what are we going to do when we get out of here? Are we going to walk with the Lord? See? Are we going to believe Him and trust Him? And is His Spirit going to continue to be with us? He will. He will not leave us nor forsake us. And so I want to just invite you to pray. I'm going to say a closing word of prayer. And I would like to give you some time if you have any question about anything I said, so that you can ask if there's anything you want to know. And I'll keep you posted on what's going on with the program. It's supposed to be a 120-bed facility for males who are non-violent offenders. I don't know how they define that exactly. I have to find all that out. And you'll spend the last portion of your time there. And as far as I'm concerned, which I'm hoping that I'll have some quite a bit to do with it, I'd like to be there because I know that even if it doesn't happen there, I'm going to do it somewhere or another. I know when people's hearts are clean before God, they can work a great work in this world. And there's no limit to what you can do. In spite of what man says, man might say, no, 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 you cancel everything you want to do. But God will say, yes, yes, yes. And you'll be able to prosper and do everything you want to do in this world. God will make it possible. You know, I can look at my own life because I tell you what, I was a mess years ago. I'm still a mess in some ways in my own mind, but I was really a mess back, and I should have been destroyed a long time ago. And you know what? When God got my attention, He had to use some scrap with the law to get my attention. When He did, I said, Lord, I don't like this. I don't want to be like this. And once I told that to God, He fixed the way for me to be straightened out. He's been fixing me ever since. He put up with all my foolishness and everything. And He's still working with me today. See, and I'm working with Him now. The difference is now I'm reciprocating because He had to wake me up out of my state of deadness to get my attention. See, once He got my attention, now we got some back and forth going on here. See, you know what? God would like to give you more, but you may not be ready to receive it. See, that's the problem. The problem's on my end. God could just fill my mind with all kinds of stuff. He has no problem doing that. You know the problem? I got a thick head. Can't take it all in. You can see that. If you look in the Bible, you'll see that Peter, look at Peter when he first got called in the book of Luke chapter 5 and read how he got called. You know, his first reaction to Jesus, Jesus had shown him that he was the Lord by calling in fish from the sea. Okay. He let him know that he is God. And once he saw that Jesus was the Lord, Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Just go away. I don't even want to deal with you. Because he knew that he was unclean in the sight of God. And he knew he was dealing with deity. See? And you know what Jesus told him? Simon, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Put away your nets and follow me. So the Lord is still saying that today to common people, just like me and you. Follow me wherever you are. No matter what you've done, I know all about you anyway. See? And I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'll fix you and fix your life and fix everything and make it right. Then look at, read 1st and 2nd Peter. They are the most dynamic and the heavy writings that you can ever read. The word is just so heavy. The things that Peter writes. And you can see that from that time until the time he wrote those epistles, God had worked him over. You know, in a miraculous way. He denied the Lord 3 times. He had all kinds of trouble. He didn't even believe Gentiles were being saved until the book of Acts chapter 10. God was constantly working on him, fixing his life until the time when he was willing to give his own life as a sacrifice to God because he refused to denounce the gospel of Christ. And the legend tells us that Peter was crucified on an upside down cross. So the upside down cross is a symbol of Simon Peter. But he started off telling Jesus, go away. Don't want to have nothing to do with you. And Jesus kept on working on him. So I pray that he's working on you and that you'll follow him. He's the way to go. I can tell you like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. But he is the one. Focus your mind on him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. And Father, we pray today that you bless somebody with salvation. They may not have known what you have done. And Father, we pray that you fill them now today with the Spirit if they are ready to turn and follow you. Oh God, and we pray you give us all an eternal mindset fixed on the things above and not on things on the earth. Oh God, help us to realize that Jesus Christ is the righteous one all by himself and that he has died for my sin personally and that you raised him from the dead and you will raise us also with him and seat us at your right hand and in eternity to come. Help us not to trip on trivial things, O Lord, in this temporal world, but O God, give us a vision of eternity that we might see the things that are not seen and hope in those things that we cannot see because we walk by faith and not by sight. Bless every person in this room with more understanding, more spiritual knowledge, and more spiritual power. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the families of everyone who is seated here and the friends. And we pray for the outcomes in the courts, that everything will go in their favor, that they might be the children of God walking in your liberty outside these doors, oh God, with their minds fixed on eternity.
and no longer on that which is temporal. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask this and all of the blessings in the name of Jesus, thy Son. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.